If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Dom Betts from the Fulhamish podcast for the next hour, 60 minutes dedicated to everything where Fulham is concerned. We're going to be doing a Sheffield Wednesday review, and of course, the traditional three word reviews are in. They are locked in. Dom will be providing them. Then a more positive spin. We're going to be looking at Fulham's youth and how they are faring up this season. We'll be talking to Louis Waldock all about it, who is a Fulhamish under-23s expert. Then we'll be doing the opposition view because Fulham take on Wigan this weekend. And Wigan, well, maybe fear them a little bit because they beat Cheltenham 2-0 at the weekend. Maybe they're starting to click into form and Fulham are desperately trying to get that win because, Dom, it has been 3-1-1 successive draws on the spin. Draw specialists can't convert the chances. Before we do the three-word reviews, I have to ask you, what is going on?
I think what's happening is that whenever we seem to take the lead, we seem to have assumed 3 points done, it's in the bag, we don't focus game on the game anymore. Because like, if you look at the game on Saturday, we had 70% possession like we always do, but had 2 shots on target throughout the entire game. I don't remember us attacking. Okay, we got the ball into attacking positions, but we didn't really do anything with it. I mean, in the second half, I'm thinking the knockout free kick that went over the bar, and that's about it. You know, Bettinelli made some good saves in the first half. He probably kept us in the game, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, it was a fair result for Wednesday to get the draw. But, you know, you don't need to be conceding in the 93rd minute. And, you know, it's another late goal that we conceded. Obviously, conceded it one to Jai when we played West Brom. So, you know, I'm not too worried yet. It's just I'm saying it like, everyone says, oh, it's only September, but then if you're looking at Sheffield Wednesday away, over the course of a season, that's the place you go and win if you want to get top two. Mm. If you get a draw there, you may be top six. Maybe we're not top two. Maybe we're only top six ability this year. And, you know, everyone talks about the strength of our attack, you know, Mitrovic, Cavallero, Knockhart, Kearney, Bobby Reid, etc. But, you know, after the Millwall game, I think they've only averaged 1 or 2 goals a game. So it's not like we're outscoring teams left, right and centre, you know, winning 3-2, winning 4-2. You know, we're only getting 1 or 2 goals per game. So there is cause for concern, but I don't think too badly. Like, it's not like we're creating mistakes and we're conceding 3 or 4 each game. So I think it'd be good to get 3 points under our belt against Wigan and then build from there. I think we're just in a bit of a rut at the moment.
Well, there's so much to dissect what you just said where Fulham are concerned. Those 3-1-1s, what is going wrong? Is it a cause for concern? But the manner, across a season, you're going to have a lot of draws. It just goes without saying. You know, the Championship is a very, very hard division. 46 difficult league games. But it's the manner in the draws that where it's always the same. There seems to be a reoccurring theme in that you spoke about it there, West Brom, a very late last-minute equaliser. The same against Sheffield Wednesday. What is happening there? Is this a lack of game management? Are you not being aggressive enough to get that second? Or are you not shoring it up at the back to let them not break in? Why are these lessons not being learnt, Dom?
I think it's what you just said there. We're not aggressive enough once we get that first goal. I don't think we necessarily take our foot off the gas, but we tend to be a bit more passive with the ball. We seem to be passing it side to side, not really creating any chances, not going for goal. I think what's a weird thing, I mentioned it on our own podcast on Monday, is that sometimes because of the way we play, it sometimes harms the players we've got. So if I'm thinking of Ivan Cavallero, he's not a possession-based player for me. He's a counter-attacking player that you want to get on the break. So is it maybe we need to surrender a bit of possession to then play more counter-attacking or a bit more attacking and direct, you know, once we get the ball off the opposition. Because I think because the players we've got, they need to. It's actually not helpful for us having the ball all the time, because we've got two wingers who like to drift inside, but we've got the ball the entire time, and you've got Bobby Reid and Tom Kearney in the centre of the park. They're occupying the space that the wingers want to drive into. So I think they're getting a bit stuck out wide. So I think that's a bit of the problem. Sometimes we might need to surrender a bit of that possession to play better football, if that makes sense.
Well, this is the problem because, you know, obviously outside, and I've watched a lot of Fulham this year, you've luckily been on Sky quite a bit, but also I'm watching the highlights, I speak to you every week. But people who just look at the stats will go, loads of possession, loads of chances, they're not converting their chances. But you've just touched upon it there. Maybe it's a little bit detrimental, too much possession for the type of players we have. But you mentioned it there. We take out that Millwall game, we're only scoring maybe one goal on average a game, because I know that was a big 4-0 win. Is that a slight cause for concern? Because, you know, I know it's again the stats, but you are creating those chances, you are having possession, and that fearful front three we always mention, it's just something's not quite clicking at the minute.
Yeah, I think that we haven't worked out what to do when a team really sits back on us. I know we detrimented or battered Millwall, but that was simply because they just didn't turn up that day, and they played into our hands, where I think a lot of teams now are looking at the way we play, sitting deep, two low blocks, and it's very hard for us to get through. And I think the midfield we're playing is, I think, one of the biggest problems. We've tried the last couple of games in playing Bobby Reid and Tom Kearney both in the centre of the park, but that just fills the middle of the pitch with too much attacking talent. Then it's not a balanced midfield, you know. Yes, I think we need a player closer to Mitrovic within that midfield. I think that should be Kearney. I think Bobby Reid is probably a bench player for us to come on and make an impact. Then I think if you have something like Johansson in the midfield, I think it's a bit more balanced, because, you know, you've got that player sitting in maybe Harrison Reid or Harry Arter, but after Harry Arter's Ed was gone.
Not for the first time.
Yeah. So Harrison Reid, Johansson and Kearney, maybe, because then you've got the legs in Reid and Johansson there to allow Kearney to play a bit more freely. So I think we need to get a bit of a more of a balanced side, especially in the middle of the park. I think that's where our biggest problem lies. I don't think it's our, you know, not shaky defence, but, you know, the playing out the back. And I think sometimes, you know, when we are playing out the back, they're too occupied in playing it into the fullbacks, the centre backs. Whereas I think they could play it through the middle to our advanced players, to our wide players, to, you know, the likes of Tom Kearney. I think they're playing maybe the passes when we're playing out from the back too short. I think we can play it out from the back, so bring it out from the back, but they still play that ball a bit further forward. You know, skip a player, play it to the next player, who then they would pass it to. I think sometimes when you play it to the players who are too close to you, you're inviting the pressure on from the opposition, and then there's not enough space for your other players to play into.
Well, you mentioned there that, you know, Fulham are expected for top two, but we're getting these draws, you know, especially against Sheffield Wednesday. Maybe we have to realise we're a top six side rather than top two. And the outside perspective of Fulham is that really strong squad coming down from the Premiership, they're going to bounce straight back up. Look at the talent they have. And I know Fulham fans would expect that too. But is there an element that opposing teams maybe don't show Fulham that amount of respect, or they're not fearful of Fulham? Because if we look at that opening day defeat to Barnsley, you know, Fulham were that Premiership side, Barnsley coming up from League One, and it was Barnsley who got that win, maybe a little bit of underestimating there. And then since that, Barnsley haven't done much. And now with this West Brom again, now Sheffield Wednesday, teams, when they play Fulham, sort of sensing, don't worry if we're 1-0 down, because we can come back here. Fulham are vulnerable, we can get this equaliser. Is that respect element being lost? Teams still feel that they can get at Fulham?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they look at our midfield and look at our defence as someone they can get. It's just because we have that possession with advanced midfielders so far up, they know there's that space. You know, if you got Bobby Reid and Tom Kearney pretty much both playing, you know, a further forward of an 8 but not quite a 10, then there is that gap in the middle of the park that Harrison Reid just can't get himself, unless you're having your fullbacks tuck inside like inverted wingbacks. But that isn't really what Brian and Steven Session are there to do. So I think that teams are just working us out, and maybe we just switch it around a bit, because I think maybe we are being a bit too predictable at the moment with all that possession.
Well, we know what Dom thinks of the game. Let's have some free word reviews to find out what you thought of the game. Dom, what are some of the free word reviews this week?
So I'll start off with our own Jack Kelly. He's like, I knew who it, you know, with his last minute equaliser.
I love that. Strong start.
We had Michael B, MBFFC, with Parker under pressure. David Ketterlake with Wednesday ruins Saturday. We had TR7 official. I don't even know what he's trying to say here, but I found it funny with erection, then deflection. I mean, I'm
love it.
I presume he's just trying to get the word deflection and, you know, erection rhymed. With Andrew Waddle with style over substance, about the way, obviously, without 70% in possession, but only two shots on target. We had John Mickey with too many reads in the centre of the park. It could be right there. Dan Hay with Hillsborough's heartbreak. Christian Liedberg with the Bottling Boys. And Rob Chogg with Houghton still available.
Well, they may only be three word reviews, but they bring up a whole host of debates for me and you, Dom. Let's just go through a couple of them. The first one, style over substance. What do you make of that?
I think he's got a point. I think maybe Scott Parker's trying to stick to this style of football he's trying to play more than like sort of, I don't know, maybe then doing something with it. I just feel like he's so obsessed, or even Slavisa Djukanovic was guilty of this. He was so obsessed with the way we play football that we wouldn't actually play the best football to get the result that you need. I think, you know, if you look at the lineup, this is one of the biggest problems here. That what is the tactical system here? If you look at the best teams in who've won Champions Leagues, they don't squeeze their best players into the 11. They don't just put loads of square pegs in round holes. They pick the system that's best suited to them, and then they pick the best players for those positions. James Milner is probably not one of Liverpool's 11 best players, but he's so critical to their system. And I think, you know, is Bobby Reid suited to the way we want to play? Probably not. Maybe if Kearney's not playing, then maybe. But I think that Parker needs to find the system he wants to play, then pick the best players for that system, as opposed to trying to get all the best players into one team, if that makes sense.
Well, I've just decided, maybe for tonight and tonight only, I'm going to create a new segment. It's called Three Questions from Three World Reviews. That was your first question. The second question then, too many reads. What do you think about that one?
Well, yeah, I mean, when we signed two reads on deadline day, sorry, it was there was definitely getting these two mixed up, and both playing in the centre of park. I think what he's trying to get out here is, did you need both of them in the middle of the park? And as I've been mentioning so far on the show, I don't think you do. I think Bobby Reid is an attacking option that provides us that flexibility off the bench, because otherwise our only attacking option off the bench is Abubakar Kamara. And as much as he can stretch the defence, he can only do that. He doesn't really have a footballing brain or a brain. So I think that Bobby Reid has said he's much better off the bench. And yeah, maybe it was too many reads. Maybe Harrison Reid, I've been really impressed with since he's come in. But yeah, I don't see the need for Bobby Reid really at the moment in the starting 11.
Oh, it's controversial. Do you agree? You can let us know. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. Your third question. This is a strong one. This is bold. The Bottling Boys, because it is free draws. Is that fair? Is that a knee-jerk reaction? Is that a strong statement, Dom?
You can argue that. I want, maybe not bottling, but taking off. Maybe it's a mentality issue where we keep taking our foot off the gas when we go 1-0 up. We assume, oh, we're 1-0 up. Now we're going to constantly have the ball. They won't have a chance on us. But, you know, all they needed to do, if you look at Sheffield Wednesday's goal, Kadeem Harris running down their left side, whips the ball in. They get a lucky deflection off Tim Ream and plays it straight across to Nahui, however you say that striker's name. He's like a modern-day Shefty Kuchi, as far as I'm concerned. Is it unlucky? Because if Ream doesn't flick it, Does it go to the striker? Probably not. If he doesn't hit it, if he hits it, he should try to hit it out for a corner. But again, I think it's a matter of fact. We speak about the defence, and, you know, you could say that maybe if Arta doesn't run to close down Ashley Westwood, he might have more time to close down Kadeem Harris down the left-hand side. But I don't think you can pinpoint these on individual mistakes, a bit like the West Brom game. I don't think you can pinpoint that on Bettinelli, because, yes, he drops it and Ajayi scores, but then your striker's still got to create the chances and take your chances early on in the game. I think goalkeepers do get a bad rap, same with defenders, because when they do make a mistake, often does lead to a goal, whereas an attacker can miss 5-6 chances in a game and not get as much criticism. So I think
you've always said that. You stand by that. And, you know, I must admit, I do agree when you say that. It's very true, the scrutiny on the two different positions.
Yeah, I think a striker can miss three or four open clear-cut chances and they'll be like, okay, we'll score again next week. Whereas a goalkeeper makes a mistake, then
it's, you know,
he's absolutely, he's crucialised. And then if you just look at Bettinelli, he went from absolute zero last week to the man of the match on the Fulham website this week. So it shows you it's the life of the goalkeeper there.
Life of the goalkeeper. Well, the question was the Bottling Boys, and maybe if they are the Bottling Boys, even if that is strong. Next, we need to find about the boys that are coming through in the academy, and we'll be talking to Louis Waldock all about the under-23s, because he is an expert.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Not Real Madrid,
We're not Barcelona.
No, we are Fulham. And this is the Fulham Fan Show. Thank you so much, Dom, for joining in, because that could have been painful for the listeners.
Don't worry, mate. More to help.
You have gone so far up in my estimation. It's unbelievable. Someone who is going up in the estimations, that is Oxford, because they have taken a 2-0 lead against West Ham in the Cup. The League Cup is in action tonight. Liverpool are beating MK Dons 2-0. Aston Villa are beating Brighton 2-1 in that all-Premier League cash. Bournemouth are losing 1-0 to Burton. Man United is still 0-0. Sheffield United are losing to Sunderland. And Wolves, well, they could be getting a much-needed win for momentum there. They are beating Reading 1-0. But this is the Fulham Fan Show, and you can still get in touch with us tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. We were just doing the free word reviews and the free questions from the free word reviews all about the Sheffield Wednesday game, the third successive 1-1 draw for Fulham. That needs to change, and can it? We'll be doing the Wigan preview a little bit later. But now, though, maybe they need a few more academy players. We're going to be talking to Louis Waldock, the academy expert for Fulham under-23s. Before we get him on, Dom, do they need a few of these players to maybe step up? Could we see this in the next few weeks if results don't continue to go Fulham's way?
I mean, the quality of our academy has always been there to see. You've just got to look at the Sessegnon brothers, and you know, the likes of Matt O'Reilly's been courted by the likes of Borussia Dortmund, Manchester United, Spurs, PSG. So I think, you know, there's no reason why we couldn't do. We've seen them play in the Southampton Cup game. So, and there's the likes of Thierry Francois. We'll speak about Marlon Fossey. Obviously, he's come back from injury. We've got Marcel Taylor-Crossdale. Obviously, we've got from Chelsea. I think he bagged a hat-trick the other day. But, yeah, so there are some promising players there.
The thing is, Dom, we get excited, don't we, about, you know, the youngsters coming through, because it only takes one game, you know, and then we maybe push them into the limelight, the spotlight, and the weight of expectation is so much. We want so much from them, and sometimes it's a little bit too soon.
Just think Federico Macheda at Manchester United, you know, scores that winner against Aston Villa, and then what happened?
Well, you know, and obviously Harvey Elliott, he's playing for Liverpool tonight. You know, what have you made of that? Because
he missed the goal from a yard out. So
right, well, maybe I fell into that trap. I was going to ask how you felt about him, but it's obviously clear for a while. I'm delighted to say Louis Waldock is joining us now, Fulham under-23s expert. Louis, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little bit of your time tonight. It's not going great for the main side. Three successive 1-1 draws. What exciting talent should we be looking out for?
Well, I think something we've all heard about over the past couple of years is Matt O'Reilly, and I think he's probably the easiest place to start. Without a doubt, against Reading, he was a cut above the rest, and his control in midfield is just magic. To be honest, Luca Della Torre as well. We've seen him break into the first team before. He played a handful of championship games promotion season, and honestly, if those two break into the first team this year, I would not be surprised in the slightest.
Obviously, we speak about De La Torre. He's been, you know, in and out of the first team in the sort of League Cup games and FA Cup games for a few seasons now. Do you think, is it getting to breaking point with him, or do you think he's still got time in the under-23s to develop?
I think there's still time. I mean, I expected him to be in and around the first team a bit more last season, but he picked up quite a bad injury just after the Millwall game in the League Cup, where he got his first senior goal and two assists. So I think that's potentially put him back a bit. But I expect Scott Parker will be bringing him in this season. And if not, then perhaps it will be for him to decide if he wants to fly his trade elsewhere.
If we look at, obviously, Martel Taylor-Crossdale, obviously we signed him from Chelsea on that free transfer in the summer, bagged a hat-trick. I think it was earlier in the week or on the weekend. Has he settled in that well? And obviously, you know, we don't really have a number nine option behind Mitrovic, bar you look at Kamara, you look at Bobby Reeb. I don't really see any of them as out and out number nines. Do you think it's in his setting his sights on before the end of the season, he wants to maybe be that backup striker on the bench?
I think so. And we knew how well he was going to fit in from his debut pre-season, where he landed in Portugal, an hour later started a game and then scored. And the hat-trick last Friday sort of cemented that a bit for me, that he knows that this is the right place for him. And depending on the third round of the FA Cup, depending on who we draw, I wouldn't be surprised to see him starting.
with Marcel Telles-Crostel, so what type of striker is he? Is he someone who's going to, you know, get in behind the back line defences a bit dissimilar to Mitrovic, or do you think he could play that role in holding the ball up and playing in the likes of a wide player such as, you know, Bobby Reid, Anthony Knockaert and Ivan Cavaleiro?
I think, to be honest, he's got some versatility. I mean, two of his goals were tap-ins, but he had the awareness to be in the right place at the right time. The other was very well taken and took on a very seasoned professional in Chris Gunter to be able to slot it home. But the other side of his game, he did sort of drop back a bit and let Sonny Hilton go forward and let the wide players of Harris and De La Torre sort of be more involved in the attack. And he was trying to sort of be a bit more of a playmaker. And when it went wrong, he was not afraid to spring back and try and undo any mistake he made, which is something we possibly haven't seen from strikers in the past with Fulham.
Obviously, we signed, you know, Harrison Reed and Harry Arter in the summer transfer window. What did you make of it? Because obviously we have Matt O'Reilly and De La Torre who can play in the centre of the park. Obviously, De La Torre a lot further forward. Do you think it was necessary to sign both of them, or do you think maybe, you know, we could have just gone with Harrison Reed, and then if we needed that player in the middle of the park, we could have brought in someone like Matt O'Reilly? Because the ability is clearly there. You know, the teams we've been courting, his signature has been endless. You know, Manchester United, Paris Saint Germain, Juventus, Spurs. The list is endless.
Personally, yeah, I think Harrison Reed would have been enough. I don't think we needed both him and Arter. And like you say, I think O'Reilly could have filled that role. And actually, another one that was looking likely from the game against Reading was Ben Davis. And he'd sort of been touted as a future star sort of midway through last season. He was hitting headlines for different reasons in terms of not being able to go back to Singapore for national service. But O'Reilly, I genuinely think, is a very good option. And if we're in the Championship next season, God forbid we won't be, but if we are, he should be starting every week.
And, you know, one other player I want to talk about is obviously Marlon Fossey, because obviously he had that terrible injury towards the end of last season. At the beginning of last season, which kept him out for most of the season. How has he adapted back to life in the under-23 since he come back from such a bad injury?
Seems to be pretty well. He didn't feature against Reading last week, but towards the back end of last season when he was making his comeback, as was Alfie Mawson in the same game, which is the last time we played Reading at the Cottage for the 23s, I thought he looked no different to what he was before the injury. He was just as strong, just as willing to get stuck in. And to be honest, I think that's sort of what you need for a right back, just fearless.
One thing I've always thought about Academy is that we've seen so many sort of attacking players come through and midfielders. Are there any promising defenders come through? Because you can speak the likes of obviously Jordan Evan, but then he was seen to be maybe coming through and maybe as a very promising left back. He ended up becoming a barber, I think it was. And then you've got, you know, there was talk about Aaron Davis, but that never happened with him. See, Jerome Poku's been on recent pre-season tours. Is it just simply not as much quality in the defensive areas?
Potentially, but Opoku's obviously now at Accrington Stanley and he's getting minutes there and their fans are raving about him. But I think the one in the under-23s at the moment is Moritz Jens. And he's an absolute rock at the back. He is completely unfazed. Every ball that Reading put forward, he cleared. And sort of reminded me a bit of slightly taller Tim Ream in that he was getting every interception and he was just so calm and confident. I wouldn't be surprised to see him make that avenue, maybe pre-season next year.
Well, Louis, we've been asking you about all the academy prospects, but I just want to quickly turn your attentions to the game on the weekend. It is Wigan. Can they stop those three successive draws? They don't want to make it four. What is your prediction before we look at the Wigan game?
To be honest, I think we should win fairly easily. I don't want to jinx it, but I think the sort of shades of the game against Blackburn, that kind of not a massive scoreline, but comfortable.
Well, let's hope so. Louis, thank you so much for coming on, joining us tonight. It's always a delight and an insight to talk to you about all the academy prospects. Hopefully we'll get you on soon at a later date. Louis Waldock there, the Fulhamish under-23s expert. He's hoping for a convincing win on the weekend to stop that rut. Or someone who will be thinking from a different perspective will be joined from Chris from The Pie at Night, which is a Wigan podcast next.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Dom Bett from the Fulhamish podcast. There is still time to tweet us and get involved. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. We were just talking earlier about that Sheffield Wednesday game, and Dom mentioned on the show that it may be time for Fulham to surrender a little bit of possession so they can get other players involved in the game. And Dom, this is very rare, but someone has tweeted in at Berkshire Whites and they say, "I agree with Dom quite a lot. I've been thinking about this for a while now." Very strange for someone to be agreeing with you when it comes to Fulham.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with him. You know, if someone's agreeing with my opinion on Fulham, then God help everyone else. But you know, no, I think it is something that we might need to do. I think that when we have too much of the ball, it stops some of our players getting into the attack position to beat them, because it means the other teams will sit back too deep, and it doesn't give us the opposition to get in behind players. You know, I'm not saying knockout's rapid, but you know, you can still get in behind a man. You know, Carrillo's got that pace, and as I said earlier, I think Carrillo might actually be suited to not playing in a possession basis, but more in a counter-attacking system. And maybe when we play the better teams like your Swansea's and your Leeds, maybe that will happen. But I just feel that maybe a small switch up in the player style.
Well, it is the League Cup tonight, the third round, the second night of action. Aston Villa are beating Brighton 3-1. We're reaching the end of these games, so Aston Villa look to go through in that all Premier League clash. Weirdly, Burton are beating Bournemouth 1-0, but the game was abandoned. The lights went off. And normally, if it's abandoned, meaning the ref's giving up for the evening, not like suspending it. But they're back on, and Burton are 1-0 up to Bournemouth. Chelsea, well, they have absolutely flown through. They're beating Grimsby 6-1 at home. Liverpool are beating MK Dons 2-0. The shock maybe of the night, the result of the night, Oxford United are 3-0 up at home to West Ham. West Ham, who have been on that great run, beating United on the weekend, and they wanted to attack these cups this year. Sunderland are beating Sheffield United 1-0. Wolves are beating Reading 1-0 for them. It's going to be a great Wolves show. Their fan show is on at 10 tonight, so it'll be a very happy half an hour. Tune in to that one. Also, Man United, people are saying Rochdale might do it. No, Man United have taken the lead 1-0, and it's that man again, Dom, Mason Greenwood. We were talking about academy talents. He looks a hot prospect for United where it is concerned. Let's now look towards where Fulham are concerned. It is the game on the weekend. It's Wigan. Dom, this is a big one because three successive draws. Wigan won on the weekend to Charlton 2-0, which was a very, very good result. Let's not knock that result. So they're going to have confidence. They're going to be feeling a little bit of momentum. How do you feel about this one?
I mean, it's a weird one because, you know, you looked at this probably going into the month, and that, you know, Wigan at home, you'd see that as, oh, that's a guaranteed 3 points. But, you know, the 3-1-1 draws on the bounce, you don't really know. And, you know, so I think this is what you call a must win, you know. Bottom half of the championship, you know, possibly a relegation fighting side at home. You expect us to, you know, to win this game, and we should do. I just think, again, if we get an early goal, we could possibly see a repeat of Wigan here.
Mm. Well, I want to ask, Dom, because firstly, I do completely agree with you. When you go, we expect Fulham to win. We do expect Fulham to win. We know of their class. We know of the talent they have in the squad and what they should be achieving this year. But is it a bit... I don't want to use the word silly, but is it a bit silly that every game, especially in the Championship, when it is so difficult, we go, we expect to win, because it's only an added pressure for the team itself? I know if they're good enough and, you know, they're professionals in the class they have, they should be dealing with that pressure. But going into that every game is something that maybe they don't need.
Yeah, but you can't go into Wigan at home and not say it's
no,
a must
I
win. I think it's more just saying that, because you need to, this is a game you need to be winning. I'm looking at our next three games. They're must win games. I'm looking at Wigan. I'm looking at Reading. I'm looking at Charlton. Two home games and obviously away to Reading during before the international break kicks in. You have to be getting 9 points. Absolute worst case scenario, 7 here, because otherwise you're just going to get cut adrift. I know the table, as I said, doesn't really matter until you go into the new year, but you don't want to be playing catch up for the rest of the season. We have got aspirations of finishing in that top two, and I think this is the game we look at saying, oh, this should be a comfortable 2 or 3 and 1 win.
Well, this is what I mean, because it's all the top two talk. We have to get the 7 points. You know, that's quite a weighty expectation around any football team's neck.
What else should you expect from this?
No, I expect it, but it's so hard because you just keep raising that bar for yourselves. And when it is a new league, you've come back down. Sometimes it does take a little while to get yourselves up and running.
Yeah, but I think you've got to look at this seriously here. If you're not expecting to get, you know, a minimum of two wins and a draw, most likely three wins from this, then what are your aspirations for the season? Because even if you're a team going to get playoffs here, you'd expect that many points there. This isn't top two expectations. That's top six expectations there. If you don't beat Charlton at home, you don't beat Wigan at home, and you don't get a result of Reading away, then what are you going to achieve in the Championship this season?
Well, the next games are Wigan, Reading and Charlton. Are you saying it has to be 9 points from then, if not seven?
Yeah, it has to be. I don't think there's any other options there, really, because it's not like Wednesday, under Bruce, you could have seen them challenging. The squad hasn't changed since then. You're looking at West Brom. For me, they're one of the favourites for top two anyway. But against these ties, who, you know, Charlton and Wigan, the two enemies, I expect them to be just about fine to stay up. And I think Reading will have enough, but I don't think they'll be challenging for the top six. So I think, yeah, you've got to be looking at these games. I mean, if you look at Reading, they're losing to Wolves. And, you know, who's really lost to Wolves this season, apart from some minnow in the Europa League? So I think that, yeah, I don't think it's putting pressure on them. I think they should understand what's expected off the players this season for it to be a success. And I think they've got to start attacking more, if that makes sense. I know we got the ball a lot, but creating chances, we need to start creating more chances. And I think, you know, if we do get a good result in this game, I'm not saying all will be forgiven for the last three games, but I'm saying it will breed confidence within the side. And I think it's all about just breeding more confidence within this team, because I think when that front three or front four clicks, then I don't think there's better front four in the league.
Well, it's another Friday night game again. Does that make such a difference? When you do keep playing on Friday night, you're not playing on the weekend. Does that change it at all?
I'd rather play on a Friday night as opposed to the Saturday, because then you're not thinking about other teams' results. You just, like, you get your business done straight away. I mean, the only reason we're playing on a Friday night is because, you know, Chelsea, for some reason, are at home, and obviously we can't play at home on the same day because, I think policing is the argument. I think we could both comfortably play at home on the same day. But, yeah, I think I don't mind the Friday night games because, one, it just gets football out the way on the weekend, and two, that you get to play first. The owners in your hands. I think it's all about, you know, this is what I've always said, you know, when you're going for top four, when you're going for a title in the Premier League, you want to be the team playing first. You don't want to have the pressure on you to the winning. I know it's like the middle of September and it's not exactly pressure.
But if
we win the game, let's say, it'll probably push us into the top six. So for me, I think playing first is probably suits us because there's probably less pressure on us.
It's a really good way of looking at it. Just very quickly, because the League Cup is in action tonight, Oxford, well, their fun isn't stopping there at the Kassam Stadium, because they have another. They are beating West Ham 4-0. But a bigger shock, Rochdale have equalised at Old Trafford. Yes, you're hearing that right. It is Man United 1, Rochdale 1. Rochdale have equalised at Old Trafford. And it's 10 minutes or so to go. If Rochdale hold on, we could be in for a penalty shootout at Old Trafford. Unbelievable scenes. We will be keeping you across all the scores from the league. Chelsea, well, they were in a very close game with Grimsby. It was 7-1 to Chelsea at Stamford Bridge there. But we're talking about the only London club that matters in this hour. It is Fulham. We're talking about the game against Wigan Friday night. Dom just made a really valid point there that, you know, the pressure's off, the other games aren't going on, move up the league before everyone else has played. Dom, I have to ask, it has been three successive draws. What is your score prediction for the weekend?
I'm going to say 3-1. I can't quite see a clean sheet, but just because, you know, we don't really keep clean sheets. But I do think our attackers will want to make a point because it's been quite a poor run for them. And, you know, Mitrovic hasn't scored for a game, so he's going to want to get a goal in this game. I think 3-1 because, yes, we've drawn these three games, but I think the team, because of what happened and, you know, Arta losing his head, us conceding in the 93rd minute, I think they're going to want to prove a point here. And I think it could be the worst time for maybe winning two playoffs, because I think these players are really going to make a point and saying, no, we still do want to get these top two spaces, and we're here to, you know, challenge the likes of Leeds and Swansea.
Dom, you're on fire tonight, because I think you're right. Not only people will be looking at it from a narrative of, oh, tough time Fulham to play Wigan, three draws, Wigan got that great result. Equally a tough time to play Fulham, because they're going to want to bounce back. They're going to want to make a statement. And are you just saying, you know, after that run of three draws, it's always the only prize is 3 points, but we have to get 3 points. I don't care if we don't keep a clean sheet. I'm not too worried about performance. It's the result that matters on this one, isn't
it? Yeah, when you get a negative result, the last thing you want to do is waiting, you know, ages till the next game. When you drop points or you lose very, very last minute, you just want to be playing again, don't, if you're a player, wouldn't you? You just want to you want to right the wrongs of their last game. So I think us playing on the Friday nights could possibly be a good thing.
Well, that is the view of the Wigan game on Friday night. As always, Dom will be there. He's saying 3-1 Fulham are going to bounce back. Next, we will be doing some listener questions.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Dom Betts from the Fulhamish podcast. Just very quickly, some scores around the grounds in the League Cup, because we just said Man United and Rochdale, it is 1-1 at Old Trafford. Unbelievably, Reading have scored in the 98th minute. And if that's not strange enough, there is 90 plus 28 minutes in the Burton-Bournemouth game. Some unbelievable scenes here from around the grounds. Chelsea are through, Liverpool are through, West Ham are out. They got beat to Oxford United 4-0 there. Aston Villa beat Brighton 3-1. We will be keeping you up to date with the Man United and Wolves games, because they could be going to penalty shootouts. But it's now time for a section I really look forward to on the Fulham show. It is the listener questions. Are you ready, Dom?
I'm ready, mate.
I was saying that. I thought we could have had a bit of music there, a bit of a jingle.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah, I was waiting. If people are off the ball.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Banger.
Oh, question one. Do we hype up? No, I'm not going to do it. Do we hype up Steven Sessegnon slightly too soon? And that question is from A.Lucas.
No, because Cyrus Christie's still in the squad. So I don't think we're hyping up. It's just our best option at right back. I think that, you know, he's still a very young player. What is he, 19 years old? And I think what the issue is, another issue we're having at the moment tactically, is that the way we're playing, I don't think is utilising our fullbacks to the best of their ability. Because I think these are two fullbacks who want to bomb on, overlap past the wingers, and then whip the balls in. But because the midfield are occupying the space, aren't allowing our wingers to cut inside to, you don't have the space on the overlap for the fullbacks. I don't think we're overhyping Sessegnon. I think he's definitely our best right back, because Cyrus Christie is, you know, useless. So I think that, you know, I don't think we're overhyping. I think he's doing the job he needs to do. You know, you've got to remember he's 19 years old. This is the Championship. It's not the Premier League. And I think that he's perfectly capable and he's doing a fine job.
Oh, dumb. I'm fire tonight. Next question. Now, this is a tricky one. Who is to blame for our recent results? Who do we point the finger at? And that is from Ben.
I think, I don't know if it's there's one particular person. I think it is a collective. I think you can look at Parker. If you're looking at the West Brom game, for example, you can look at his substitutions. I think he got his substitutions all wrong. And if you look at Slaven Bilic, I think he got his substitutions all right. Then you've got to look at the players. You know, you can argue Benani made the mistake for the West Brom game. You can look at Harry Arter losing his head in the Sheffield Wednesday game and how Scott Parker had to grab him. So I do think it's a collective effort. I do think another thing you can point it down to is simply that, you know, there's a lot of new players in this team. I'm thinking Steven Sessegnon. I'm thinking, you know, Mawson and Brian haven't played together a load. Same with Tim Ream. You know, you look at Harrison Reed, you look at Bobby Reed, you look at Harry Arter, Caviero, Mitrovic, Knockhart. There are a lot of new players in this team. So I think this team's waiting for gel, see what the best style is for them to play. But I do think it's sort of a collective effort of why we're not doing as good as we think we would do.
Is our stubbornness to try and keep possession something we have mentioned earlier, so I kind of know your answer on this one, but is our stubbornness to keep possession costing us the points? And that's from Archie.
I don't know if it's costing us the points, because I think you can still have 70% possession and create plenty of chances, as Man City showed against Watford on the weekend. But I do think that you losing a bit of possession, as I mentioned, would be the best option for us, because I think that, you know, if we didn't have all the ball, then we could have, you know, more players going forward.
Well, we have got Chris on the phone with us now to give us the Wigan opposition view. We will go back to the listener questions because it is an important segment, but we want to do the opposition view from that Wigan perspective. Chris, thank you so much for joining us a little later than scheduled. We appreciate you coming on. Fulham, Dom is predicting a strong Fulham win. They're going to bounce back after those three successive draws, but you're going to tell me Wigan are confident. They beat Charlton on the weekend. How are you feeling?
Sort of half confident. We did have a good result at home at weekend, but our home form is a lot better than our away form. So it's, I don't know, if you offered me a draw now, I'll take a draw.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people are saying about the record against Fulham and Wigan and how we haven't lost since, I don't know, 2006 or 2007 or something crazy. But if we're talking about Wigan this season, what do you think when you have one obviously against Charlton and Wigan? What is the most dangerous aspects of this Wigan side?
I suppose counter-attacking, we seem to be a lot better counter-attacking, or we have been. and that's, you'd think that would suit us away from home, but I think defensively we have been quite fragile up until recently. So maybe away games where the home team is attacking us, we struggle to sort of keep them out. And then there's an aspect to us where once that first goal goes in, the head sort of drop. Seems to be lacking in a bit of confidence after that.
So we're looking at this Wigan side. If from a Fulham perspective, who are the sort of most dangerous players that Fulham fans should be looking out for?
There was signs at the weekend that Kiefer Moore and Jamal Lowe, two summer signings, who both play up front, were building a bit of an understanding. Jamal Lowe went through and perhaps should have scored. Both goals at the weekend came from set pieces, though. Charlie Mulgrew, who he took on loan from Blackburn in the summer, seems to have steadied the defence a bit, and his delivery from corners and free kicks seems to be making the difference at the minute.
So, if we're looking at Wigan this season, so what are the expectations for the club? Is it just mere survival, or is there sort of higher aspirations for the club?
Last season we came up with the aim was just to stay up. We did that. We spent a bit of money in the summer, although not a lot by sort of championship standards, but £7 million in the summer spent was quite a bit of money for us. The top end of the bottom half of the table, I think, is achievable and something we should be aiming for. We should be trying to sort of stay away from any relegation battle if we can. And I think it's a case at the minute of stringing a few results together and trying to climb a table.
Yeah, because if we're taking it back, 10, 15 years now, we were both sort of fairly established Premier League sides. Is the aspirations for the club to get back to the Premier League, or are they sort of accepting that the Championship is where they're going to be for the foreseeable future?
Well, the club was taken over partway through last season by a Hong Kong consortium, and I'm not having it for 1 minute that their idea behind anything is to just consolidate in the Championship. I think they've got aspirations of having a tilt at Premier League promotion, but I don't think they're of the mind to throw a lot of money at it in one go. I think they want to do it steadily and build up and then get to a position where we can have a good go with it.
I think that, you know, I've said it a lot of time when it came to Fulham with our Europa League run, that obviously getting to the final of that, and a lot of the times when, you know, when we got promoted back to the Premier League last season, that, you know, we felt like, oh, it's great being back here, but we've sort of done the best as we can. Do Wigan fans sort of feel the same, that they've sort of seen as best that they are going to get with, obviously, the FA Cup win over Man City?
Yeah, I think a lot of fans, especially in my generation, I'm sort of in the late 30s now, has never expected us to get to the Premier League, certainly never expected us to win the FA Cup. And there's a general feeling that sort of we've seen the best days. But then, you never know. I mean, the thing was, when we got to the Premier League, the landscape had changed because our owner was a millionaire, and all of a sudden Abramovich had taken over Chelsea, and the landscape had changed in the Premier League, so we knew that we weren't going to be able to compete financially. And I think the landscape is changing the Championship now. There's a lot of clubs at the top end of the Championship, not only with the parachute payments, but they get these foreign owners come in and run up debts, gambling on getting up there. I don't think there's a team that's got promoted recently. Not many teams, sorry. Huddersfield's probably one that did it against the till, but Leicester, when they went up, ran up massive debts on wage bill. Cardiff have done the same. Wolves, we saw what Wolves are doing in the Championship with their owners last year, signing £20 million players before they went up. It takes a lot of money now to get out of this league.
If we're looking at the Wigan team and how Fulham could sort of attack them, what would you say are your biggest weaknesses where Fulham could sort of definitely punish Wigan on Friday night?
We seem to be conceding a lot of silly goals from crosses, balls across the box. So if you've got wingers that will go at our full backs and are willing to cut balls back across the box or put crosses in for a decent forward, I don't know whether I've not been following your results much this summer, but this season, sorry. But if Mitrovic is playing and getting service, then I can see him scoring against us.
Well, Chris, it is a Friday night game. Don was predicting a 3-1 win. We want your score prediction now. What do you think?
I don't know. Like I said, I'd take a draw. I'd snatch your hand off for a 1-1 draw now.
One all draw. Okay, Chris, sitting on the fence there. We really appreciate you coming on tonight. Chris from the Pie at Night Wigan podcast. Check them out. Dom, he's going for a draw. It's been three successive draws for Fulham. We know you predicted 3-1. Let's quickly, because in the League Cup, it is going on, so let's quickly update you with that. Wolves and Reading are in a penalty shootout. Reading have missed two. Wolves could wrap that one up on pens. Man United and Rochdale, well, Man United are throwing everything at it, but it's still 1-1. We could be seeing pens in that game very soon. Let's quickly go back to the listener questions, Dom. Why does our mentality seem to shift when we go into the lead? And that's from Lewis.
I just think they get too comfortable. I think that's the biggest problem. I think that...
Does that... Would you point the finger at the manager then? Because if they're getting comfortable, they shouldn't be, should they?
No, I do think that Parker isn't blame-free here. A lot of people saying, is he up to the job? I do think he is up to the job. We've seen it in stages, you know, in the games we have won this season, that, you know, we can devastate teams. So I think for us, it's just about not letting the mentality change. I think that's probably the biggest problem, is that the mentality changes when we go into the lead, instead of, you know, maybe the Mark Warburton strategy, which I've been seeing him doing at QPR, is to go 1-0 up, but he wants to get the second and third goal, and I don't see that from us. I feel like we get the goal and then become a bit too more passive with the ball, whereas I think if you get that goal, you show you can hurt them. So I think you should, it's more about attacking them even more in that instance. I know they're going to want to come, because they're going to want to come back at you now they're 1-0 down, so it might open more of the space in behind their back four or their holding midfielders. So I think it's about changing, if you are going to change mentality, change to an even more attacking mentality, maybe.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the manager there, because the next question, how long should Parker be given? I think Christmas at the most, and that's from Isaac.
I think...
That feels a little strong.
I think I'd analyse things at the November international break.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's until when he's got, but I think analyse things over the next month, because the game's until then. So what, before the September international break, or October international break, sorry, we've obviously Wigan at home on Friday night, Reading away on Tuesday, and then Charlton at home the following Saturday. And then, you know, you've got Stoke away, Borough away, Luton at home. I think that, and I think that's the October's fixtures, and then November, I believe, I think maybe Hull at home. So if you're thinking about that, there's a lot of winnable fixtures in there. So it's about, I think, analysing where we are come November is probably the best, because, you know, I know you, it's a bit, it would be a bit too early to sack him, but I'm not saying sack him then. I'm just saying analyse where you are. Do you need to then change your aims, or do you try get someone in? But I think your biggest problem there is, if you look at who's available, say someone like Chris Hughton, let's say. It isn't a matter of fact of just getting Chris Hughton in and then just it's going to change for you, because he's going to play a totally different way of football. It's going to take these players a bit to learn. I can't quite see him playing a fluid 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1 system. So it's different. I think you've got to give Scott Parker the benefit of doubt. It is his first year in management. He's not doing terribly. He's doing okay. Could be doing better. So I think you know, I'd analyse things at the November international break.
Well, very quickly, and to finish, Steph Joe, do we do more with him?
I think we do. I think we do. He occupies more in the middle of the park. I think we do more of Steph Johansson in the middle of the park, because, you know, he offers the legs. I think he creates a more balanced midfield, I guess you can say. He works in the number 8 role. Kenny works in the more advanced number 10 role, I guess you can say. And you've got Harrison Reed sitting deep. I think he just creates a more effective midfield for us.
Well, this has been the Fulham Fan Show. You can catch the Fulham Fan Show every Wednesday, 9 to 10, right here on Love Sport Radio. We heard from Louis Waldock on the Fulham under-23s. He's an expert there. We three-word reviewed the Sheffield Wednesday game. We just spoke to Chris from the Pie at Night Wigan podcast. He was hoping for a draw. He said Wigan will be happy to take it. Dom said no. The pressure is on. We're going to bounce back. Backs against the wall. 3-1 for Fulham. They play Wigan this Friday night. Next, though, Wolves, they were in action in the League Cup tonight, and they are through on penalties, and it is the Wolves Fan Show on Love Sport Radio here next.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team. with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.